child of God. I am your child. Therefore, Lord, I am no more ordinary. I am extraordinary. Talk to God. Talk to God. You are no more ordinary. You are extraordinary in all your ways. As a child of God, I am not ordinary. I am not ordinary. I am extraordinary. Because I am born again. Heaven is my goal. And mockers shall mock me no more. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I worship you this morning. For this great opportunity you have given unto us to be at your feet this morning, Lord. Some are in beer parlors. Some are in one restaurant or the other. Some are doing things that does not glorify you. But here we are, O Lord, to worship you, to thank you. It is not ordinary, it is extraordinary. Father, accept our thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, Lord, let thy word come with power. Let thy word come with anointing. Let thy word touch his heart. Father, let every stony heart this morning become a heart of flesh. In the mighty name of Jesus. Daddy, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And the saints of God says, Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Over the weekend, I listened to Daddy Gio's message for the Holy Ghost service titled, Greater Than Your Enemy. You are more powerful than your enemy. You will be more powerful and you will be greater than your enemies in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. But the subtitle was Silencing Mockers. Every mocker in your life shall be silenced. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, title this morning is Seeing the Ordinary as Extraordinary. Many of us, we wake up in the morning, we think it is just ordinary. Yeah. Driving to this place this morning, many of us see it as ordinary. Having breakfast to eat, lunch, supper, many of us think it is ordinary. I read the story of a man who in his life, it is just bread and water. What happened? There was a severe accident in which he had a brain injury. Thinking that he will never survive, he finally survived, but the sense of taste was taken away from him. So he's satisfied with just bread and water. Nothing tastes in his mouth. Here, you can feel the taste of sweet, you can feel the taste of chicken, you can feel the taste of beef differently. And we think it is what? It is ordinary. Brethren, it is not so. We must see things as we do it daily as what? Extraordinary. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. When you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. When God gives you the opportunity to be able to read, do it to the glory of God. If God gives you the opportunity to be a worker, work to the glory of God. If God gives you the opportunity to be an employer of labor, please, do it to the glory of God. Even if it is just to be an employee, where you have to work for somebody, do it to the glory of God. Our Lord never saw the mundane activities as ordinary when he walked the streets of this world. Whether he healed the sick, or sat around the fire with his disciples, or on the mountain to preach, he did not see one activity as spiritual and the other as non-spiritual. Life was lived as a holy service to his heavenly Father. I pray the grace to live a holy life, to live our life as a service to our Father in the Lord, to our Father in heaven, God will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Many times we fall prey to a spiritual hierarchy mentality We think, oh yeah, going to church is more spiritual than staying praying at home. And then when we are praying at home, we don't need to be serious about it. It's just, after all, it's just at home. Look, brethren, everything is extraordinary. Whenever God gives you the opportunity to pray, it is extraordinary. Do it with all your heart. A woman once said that it was just laid upon her heart to pray for her son. Her son far away in a boarding house. She was driving. She said she wanted to pray the prayer in a Jelenke way. It's not so spiritual. But the burden was heavy. She has to get her car off the road, park off completely off the road in a lonely place, and cry out, "Father, I don't know why you're asking me." And she took it as if it was very serious. Lo and behold, immediately she finished that prayer, a call came that her son has just been rushed to the hospital. He said, as at that time when that call came, she had that peace because God has already taken control. Why? God asked her to pray. And she did what? She didn't take it as something ordinary. She didn't say, oh, I am driving. You know, when the burden became so heavy on her, she packed off the road and said the prayer as if God was there. He said the minute she finished saying amen, moved into her car, the phone rang. Your son has just been taken to the hospital. He said she was at peace with herself because she believed that God has already taken care of the situation. God will take care of you ahead of every situation in the mighty name of Jesus. So don't think that one activity is more spiritual than the other. You know, don't believe that one activity is more blessed than the other because it's done under a spiritual guise. Only because we come to church, that is when we should pray. No. No. Only because we come to the church, that is when we should live a holy life. No. We must conduct our Christian meetings and conclude one is blessed by God just because you are there. Just because you have obeyed him. Some of us, we work to give money to the ministry. Forgetting that giving itself is what? It's a ministry. When God calls you to give, when God makes you a giver, it is a ministry. You must do it. And then when we are preparing to meet with God, when we are preparing to go to church, when we are preparing to pray, we must do it with all diligence. Why? People, towns, cities, countries on the path of hurricane make serious preparation for their coming that has temporary and physical consequences. When they say hurricane is coming, you see how people will pile up food. They get prepared. But how many of us are preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ? How many of us wake up every day and believe that, oh, today might be my last day? You know? How many of us wake up every day and say, Father, I thank you for delivering me from myself yesterday. Here am I today. Don't forget me. Deliver me from myself. Because ourself is our problem. I won't deceive you. Every one of us have gone through this thing before. So please, everything we do is extraordinary. God's glory can be expressed in the most common tasks, whether washing dishes or changing diapers or driving to the grocery store. When we begin to assign spiritual value to activities, we begin to give greater importance to those activities we deem spiritually higher in hierarchy or spiritually lower in hierarchy. So let's regard everything that we are doing with that extraordinary power that God is the one that has made this possible for me to be able to do this. It is God that has brought you to this country. It's not that you are lucky at the embassy. It's not that God, one of my friends, he said, When he was going to the embassy, his pastor held him tight, prayed for him, and asked him to go. He said, even when the visa was issued, and he was asked to go and pay, he was short of 80,000 naira. He said the man that was standing behind him just put his hand in his pocket and blessed him with 80,000 naira. So the danger in that was that the man, my friend, eventually believed that it was his pastor that did everything. Completely cut God off it. And so whenever he's talking, he begins to idolize the man. To the extent that every advice we gave him, he was holding a degree in his hand. I said, you know what? Thank God you have your papers, but keep that degree. If you want to enjoy the financial aid in this country, that first degree that you are holding, keep it. Unfortunately, it was a third class degree in chemistry, which nobody recognized. They hardly recognized, how do they classify their degrees here? Cum laude, summa cum laude, things like that. And then GP. If you want to go for a higher degree and you have less than 3.0, it's a problem out of 4. Now you are coming with 1 point something. And we're advising. But the phone will be to his pastor. Okay, do it this way. Say his pastor said he should go for the pharmacy. He never passed the prerequisite. The last time I saw him, he's driving taxi. All the people that came together that time already have their license certificates either in pharmacy or in nursing and things like that. And they are all well to do. But because his pastor, he removed God out of it. God is ordinary. His pastor was extraordinary. And things didn't work that way. I pray you will not miss it in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not miss it in the mighty name of Jesus. So if people do prepare, why shouldn't we prepare for the coming of Christ that has eternal consequences? Is it that the warning is not sounded enough by us, the believers? Or is it that people care less of eternal things than temporal? God's glory can be expressed in the most common terms. Okay? Whether we are washing dishes, like I told you, whether we are changing diapers, whether we are buying groceries, okay, we must attach extraordinary things to the power of God in our life. Look at Philip, in Acts of Apostles. Okay? Philip was in the midst of a major crusade when the Holy Spirit abruptly interrupted him to stop and go to the desert road. He was fully, meaning everybody, people were giving their life to Christ. You know, it was a big crusade. Then the Spirit of God said, look, okay, now I want you to abandon that thing you are doing. Go to the desert road. Philip went down without questioning in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous thing he did, they all paid close attention to what he was doing. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert. Go south to that road of the desert that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of that country. You know, in charge of the treasury of Candace. Candace was the coin of Ethiopia. The man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way back home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip didn't consider it ordinary. Acts 8, 26 to 29. If you get home, you can read. Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verses 26 to 29. What did we see in this story? We see that in this story that neither activity was more important than the other. The gospel that he was doing was very important. When God called him out, go and join your mind to that man. It was also very, very important. He considered it extraordinary. And he did what God asked him to do. But what happened today in our everyday life? And what I want you to do, view every activity you do with an attitude of worship and communion with God. Every activity. You are there to serve somebody. Do it with diligence. You are there to walk. Walk with diligence. God has called you to be a giver. Do it with all diligence. God has called you to be a minister. And there are various ways by which we can minister. I told a man, there was a man of God in Household of Faith. He's still in Household of Faith. His own ministry I have discovered is that people will come from Nigeria, and people that are coming from Nigeria to stay with him are not ordinary people. Pastors and ministers. From nowhere, they just say they've won lottery visa and his house. So one day I said, Papa, this whole ministry is special. He said, that's why I say I'm on. And he does it with diligence, never complaining. There was a time I asked him, did you ever know these ministers from nowhere? He said, no. So somebody will just know them and say, well, a man of God is coming. Can you please accommodate? He said, he has no choice. That was his ministry. And he was doing it, you know, diligently. And through this, you will be able to silence every mocker in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's examine some people in the Bible who did what they have to do as extraordinary service to God and what happens to them. You know? Let's look at 1 Samuel 2:1. There was a time going to Shiloh. You know, they've been going every year. They've been going every year. You know. But one time, Anna decided that this Shiloh of this year is extraordinary. It's not ordinary. I'm going to pray and I will get what I want to get. And Anna prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my, because I rejoice in thy salvation. Why? Why did she pray like that? You know. According to Daddy Gio, in one of the things that I listened to, said mockery is an act or design by the enemy and his agents to put a man to shame and disgrace. God will not put you to shame. Holy Spirit will not put you to shame. That a mocker is usually proud, wicked, and arrogant. Proverbs 21:24. And that the mockery can be spiritual, it can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be financial, it can be marital. In case of Anna, it was spiritual, it was marital, it was physical. Because the Bible recorded that her rival, Paulina, is always making jest of her. So every year she comes to Shiloh, they are always giving her extra portion. What has she to show for it? But that year, he said, this Shiloh that have come will be extraordinary. And she went to God. And God put mockers to shame in her life. Mockers will be put to shame in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So what I'm saying is that if you regard your association with God as extraordinary, God will put mockers in trouble for you. Because whosoever touches you, touches God. And who is greater? Is it God or the person? God is greater. So whoever afflicts you, afflicts God. And nobody can afflict God. So, brethren, don't ever see what you are doing as ordinary. Prayer is not ordinary. Coming to the presence of God is not ordinary. Getting food on your table and you want to call the name of the Lord to that food before you eat it is not ordinary. It is extraordinary. Amen? And then, are you considered barren at this time? I want you to remember Anna. Anna was mocked. Sarah was mocked by Hagar. You remember? Remember the story? Genesis 16:1. You know, Hagar was just a slave girl. From one Bible analysis that I read, he said, what? It is we that are viewing this thing as a sin. And it wasn't a sin. Based on the culture of that environment and of that time. Hagar was a slave. And the woman has every power over her. So giving her to her husband to meet with, as we consider it as adultery this time around, wasn't adultery that time. It was a normal thing. But the woman never saw Anna as mommy. She saw her as rival. And she began to mock her owner, her boss. And what happened about it, we all know. Do you think people did not mock Madam Zachariah? You remember her name? That's not Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Elizabeth Zachariah. You remember her in the Bible? She was mocked. What about Rachel? Rachel was also mocked by her sister, Leah. But if you regard your relationship as a child of God, as extraordinary, you will realize that God is the one that can close and open womb. I pray God will open your womb this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. He will open your eyes in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, it is not the every activity of man that results in pregnancy. I have a friend who once believed that. You know, and I told him, he said, they were trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And in the process, we all know how things work in Nigeria. Things were not going well. And the lady thought maybe I could go somewhere like Saudi Arabia, not for medical check, but just to make some money. And my friend said, if she goes, I'm going to have children before. I make sure I have children before she comes back home. And I remember I told him, I said, what do you mean? Are you the one who is going to make the children? You better be careful. He said, well, daddy, I've said my own, and I mean it. Lo and behold, this man left for Oman. But when she got there, she said she couldn't wait because of the working conditions she met there. So she spent only 1 year. By the time she comes back, they've already celebrated the Christmas ceremony for a baby. Yeah. Christmas ceremony was already celebrated. He did not bring her to the matrimonial home. So a new flat, a new apartment was rented, and they put the woman there. You know. So the lady came back because she said she wouldn't just cope with the working conditions over there. It's just she's too unhuman. So she came back to Nigeria. Thank God she has not resigned from the ministry, took her job back in the Ministry of Health. It was the Ministry of Health. And then the story was broken to her. Unfortunately, it wasn't this woman's problem. It was my friend who doctors had diagnosed as N-O. It's not L-O, L-O-W. N-O, no sperm. We have low sperm count. Is that not so? His own is N-O sperm count. None. Zero. It was just ejaculating water. Yeah. Just water, ordinary water. But because the thing is always strong and it's strong, he thought. And he know he has that diagnosis. It's men at times, I don't know what's wrong with them. He knew he had that diagnosis. And himself and the wife were working on that. He has said, okay, maybe if I go, while you work on this thing will be strong enough by the time I come back. And just like that. You know, the count will have increased. And we all know how expensive this company they do, what do you call it? DNA test. We all know how expensive it is in Nigeria. But this lady said she was convinced and she looked for money to do DNA. When it was done, my friend was not the owner of the baby. Because my friend thought making baby is ordinary. It's extra. It is only God. You know. And this lady still stay with him. What will he do? The parents told her, the lady, he is your brother. What will be your advice? Will you say he should abandon? You will say his wife will abandon him? No. It's for better, for worse. And to today, they are still married. See? So people will mock you. People will think that things you are doing is ordinary. But God is extraordinary. And God will be extraordinary in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So there can also be barrenness in other areas of our life. For example, in our career, in our business, in our ministry, in our academic pursuit, etc. Working hard, had nothing to do with making money. You know, it was one alad who told me, said, look, you don't make children by your power. You don't build houses by your power. You don't get good job, excellent job by your power. All those ones are done through the grace of God, which means it is what? Extraordinary. You need to go to God and say, Lord, let this power of your extraordinary power come upon me. And God will do it in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. So God, this morning, my prayer is that God will silence every mocker in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You will succeed where others have failed in the mighty name of Jesus. If you read the book of Luke 5, verses 1 to 7. Luke 5, 1 to 7. Peter was already being mocked. He told Jesus, when Jesus asked him to launch into the deep, he said, Master, I'm a professional fisherman. We have toiled all night. That is to tell you that it's not ordinary. We have toiled all, nothing comes. But at your word, I will do what? I will do it. And then they launch into the deep. And we all know the story. As we launch into the deep this morning, God will change your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. But Jesus said one thing which I want us to hold on to. Many of us also mock God. We mock God. How do we do that? By doubting him. We mock God by doubting him. When a word comes, we don't believe it. When we read the Bible, we will say, oh, it was in the olden days. It was their time. You will not mock God in the mighty name of Jesus. When God speaks, it is done. Remember, whether you believe it or not, remember the case of Sarah. Sarah too, more or less, mocked God. By the time those people have eaten and they pronounce the blessing on her, Abraham, come, where's your wife? Bring her. By this time next year, he's going to have a baby. What did Sarah do? She lied. In fact, she said something. She said, I have finished being done with in the manner of a woman. I wonder where the baby is coming from. But because God has already made up his mind, Sarah's, doubt did not work. Every doubt in your life that you have concerning God in your life will perish this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. When God speaks, it is done. Believe. Look at Psalm 33. Let's read Psalm 33 verses 8 to 9. Psalm 33 verses 8 to 9. Quickly. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord stand in awe of him. 9 now. For when he speaks, it is what? He commanded and he stood fast. Praise the Lord. Make sure you belong to God. Make sure you see yourself. Like that song that the choir sang for us. We are children of God. We are not ordinary. Let's rise this morning. Rise up this morning. We are going to pray. Father, give me the grace never to mock you again. The grace never to mock you again, I receive this morning. The grace never to doubt you. So that whenever you speak something in my heart, I will believe you. I am extraordinary.
Father, in my prayer life, I become extraordinary. In my faith, I become extraordinary. In my walk with you, I become extraordinary. In the name that's above every other name, I fear no man. I fear no evil. David said, even though I walk by the shadows of death, he said, I shall fear no evil. Even when I'm seeing the shadows of death just by my side, I shall fear no evil. In the name of Jesus, I shall fear no evil. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. They're going to say, Father, whatever imperfection is in my system, correct it and replace it today. God can do that. Whatever imperfection, doctors have told you, and this is it. Brethren, I'm not saying science doesn't work. But if you have strong faith, doctors have already told Mommy Sarah it's no more possible. They have already told Sister Elizabeth Zachariah that it is no more possible. Any imperfection in my life, in my system, imperfection in my brain, in my eyesight. Father, this morning, correct them, Lord. Correct them. In the name that's above every other name. You are my hope and my glory. You are the hope of my glory. Those who say it is too late in my life, surprise them, Lord. Some people will look at you and say, ah, you've been in this country since all these days. Ah, by now it is too late. Surprise them, Lord. Those who look at me and say it is too late, Father, surprise them. Surprise them. In the name that's above every other name. Surprise them, Father. Anyone that says it is too late in me, in my life, let it surprise them. Those who say I won't reach the top in any way whatsoever, silence them. Those who look at you and say, look, you will never regulate your stay in this country. You will forever be out of status. Those, surprise them. Those who look at me and my children and say, ah, it is too late for you. Oh, nothing can be done. That is surprise them. Surprise them, Lord. Father, the victory you have given me shall last me forever. Pray. The victory that you have been given shall last you forever. Shame is not your portion. For coming to worship God this morning, shame will never be your portion. Consider it as extraordinary. You have come to the presence of God this morning. Therefore, no shame. No more shame in your life. Ask God to multiply you 1,000 times than what you are right now. Deuteronomy 1:11. Deuteronomy 1:11. And the Lord shall multiply you 1,000 times more than what you are now. So that mockers will be put to shame. What mockers will be put to silence forever and ever. There are so many areas of our life that we are being mocked. And then comes to that mockery today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, you're going to be specific. In which area of your life are you being mocked? Ask God to intervene this morning. In which specific area? Which specific area? A sister called me from Nigeria and said, "Ah, brother, you've been there for how many years now? You cannot even send me $100. That time, I won't deceive you, I didn't even have 100 pence. It was sheer mockery. I bowed my head in shame. I said, what this sister has said is a true word. I didn't have $100 in my account. I went to God. The story has changed today. The story will change for better. Which particular area will you be mocked? Because you are extraordinary. Don't see yourself as ordinary. The word of God has come this morning. You are extraordinary. You are special. People might be mocking you in one area of your life or the other. Talk to God this morning. Mockers shall be put to shame. Mockers will be put to shame. Thank you, everlasting Father. Glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. As you have said amen, so shall the glory of God shine upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Because you are here this morning, mockers will be put to shame in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. No power will overcome you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. The Holy Spirit will begin to do beautiful things that people will see and glorify your God in heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, here are your people. They have bared their mind unto you. Everything that they have said in your hearing, Lord, do it as they have said it in the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Almighty. Amen. It is well with you. God bless you. It is time for our offering quickly so that we can go.